Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Driving with my family down in Southern California a couple of weeks ago, the kids were feeling the monotony of that long drive, and so I turned around and said, "Okay, kids, we're going to play the alphabet game." Now, perhaps as you remember, the alphabet game is where each person looks out the car windows and tries to find all the letters of the alphabet from A to Z. And they search for them carefully and quietly, and the first person that finds all the letters in order and reaches Z wins the game. Well, we were cruising down the freeway. Everybody was engaged, and I was cooking. I mean, I felt like I was really on a roll. After about 10 minutes, I found the letter all the way up to J. And I thought, man, I've got to slow down. I can't go, this game's going to be over if I go at this pace. And I'm already at J, and I've got to slow down and just back off and let the kids, I know that they'll catch up then. I don't want to end the game too soon. About 5 seconds later, literally 5 seconds later, Tammy turned back to the kids and said, "Okay, what letter is everybody on?" Now, normally, I don't like to do that, but I couldn't stop her before she said it. "What letter is everybody on?" And I couldn't believe it when Peter John piped up and said, "W." And then I couldn't believe it, but Jesse then piped up and said, "T." And Christy said, "Oh no, I'm stuck on Q." And I almost turned the car right off the freeway and got in a wreck. I couldn't. Christy was on Q. I was on J. And I thought I was really hot and doing well. And I realized, hey, my kids, those kids are growing up. They're getting older. They're growing up. They're beating me at the alphabet game. Now, as the kids grow up, that also means, I thought as I drove that van, that I am inevitably growing older as well. And it's not just me who's growing older, but our whole generation is experiencing what sociologists call the graying of America. Father Time, like Old Man River, just keeps rolling along. And our culture, our society, is increasingly growing older. Now, George Gallup, in the last book that he wrote before he died, entitled We Americans, had some very interesting statistics upon the demographics of our country. If your grandfather was born in the year 1900, he could expect to live to be the age of 44 years before he would die. That was the mean. 44 years of age if a man was born in 1900. If your father or if you were born in 1940, the longevity had increased to the place where you could expect to live to be 63 years old if you were born in 1940. If your son was born in 1980 or your daughter was born in 1980, she or he can expect to be 73 or 75 years of age before they pass off the scene on an average or as a mean. You see, people are living longer. Our society is growing older because people are living longer. Right now, believe it or not, there are 12,000 plus Americans that are over 100 years of age. That blew my mind. Not too long ago, in the year 1900, only 4% of the population of our country was 65 or older. By the year 2000, which, incredibly enough, is only 13 years from now, by the year 2000, fully 12% of our country will be over the age of 65. People are living longer. Our society is graying. We are getting older. Why are people living longer? Well, partially because people are becoming very much healthier. You see, it used to be when a guy reached to be 70, he would say, I think that maybe I should move into the retirement house. Now, when a guy reaches the age of 70, he says, I think maybe I will move into the White House. Our president is almost 75 years of age. It used to be a generation ago, when a woman hit 60, she would say, now is the time to watch the grandkids. But now, frequently, when a gal hits the age of 60, she goes back to college or takes on a second career. I was at a course on SOC 2 years ago, a course entitled Middle East Politics. And I thought, oh man, I'm going to be probably the oldest guy in this class. And when I got there in the class, I was shocked. I was one of the kids. I mean, there is a lot of older people in college today. It's incredible what's happening. People are living longer because they're healthier. I met a couple on Friday that just really blew my mind. This particular man, Donna Marchetti's father, started jogging or running at the age of 50 or thereabouts. And when he hit his 60th birthday, in that year, his 60th year, he ran 6 marathons that year. Now, I can't imagine even running 1 marathon in a year. It would take me a year. I ran the Pear Blossom last year, and I'll tell you, it was a killer, and that was a half a marathon. And when I crossed the finish line, I did think I couldn't imagine somebody turning around and running that thing again. But that's what a marathon is. And yet here's a guy who at 60 runs 6 marathons in a single year. Sharp, sharp guy. Sharp lady. Sharp wife. And I'm seeing this really rejuvenation, this vitalization of people as they get older, and it's an interesting phenomena. It's a good thing. And yet, Solomon, who at this time in his life was older, has some things to say about aging that is applicable to every one of us, because no matter how old you are, you're getting older by the minute, by the second. The rabbis tell us that Solomon wrote this book towards the end of his life. Now, we know that Solomon wrote 3 books, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. And traditionally, the rabbis say that Solomon wrote the Song of Solomon when he was a young man. It's a book about passion and romance. He wrote Proverbs when he was a middle-aged individual. It's very practical and has down-to-earth, day-to-day principles for life. And that he wrote Ecclesiastes as an old man. It's cynical. It's a book that questions what life is really about. And until you come to its conclusion, it can be a real bummer, a real downer. Solomon, now probably at the end of his life, what does he have to say as one who is coming near the end of his days to us? In chapter 12, he says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them or in those years. The word remember there in verse 1 is a Hebrew phrase which literally means to act decisively. It doesn't simply mean to remember in a daydreaming kind of manner. But throughout the Bible, when God says, I will remember you, he's not simply saying, well, you're in my mind. But he's saying, I will act decisively on your behalf. It's an action word. It's not simply reminiscing, but it's acting decisively on behalf of someone. And Solomon uses that particular phrase when he says, now, act decisively, radically if you would, towards thy Creator in the days of your youth, while the evil days come not, the older days, nor the years draw nigh when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them. Act decisively in the days of your youth, because harder days are coming. That's what Solomon is saying. And now he describes this aging process. I find it intriguing. I think you'll find it interesting as well. First he says, verse 2, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened. Or before these things happen, before the sun and the stars and the moon are darkened. Again, it's a Hebrew phrase which speaks of before you get depressed. You see, old age can bring with it a crotchetiness, a crankiness, a depression. It's like Shakespeare said. He said, I wasted time, now time doth waste me. And towards the end of his life, he said, man, time wastes me, even as I wasted time previously. And many older people have a vulnerability to become irritable or cranky, depressed. The sun no longer shines. The moon no longer is bright. The luster is gone. Solomon is saying, before those days happen, when you are vulnerable to deep depression, as Shakespeare said, when you feel wasted, listen, he says, remember the Creator in the days of your youth. He goes on to say, in the second phrase in verse 2, nor the clouds return after the rain. In other words, after a rainstorm, the clouds are still there, always there in that day, in that aging process. Again, if we were in that culture, we would understand this phrase better. It means your mind becomes cloudy. It rains. You might have a storm of forgetfulness, but when you're younger, suddenly the sun brightens up, the light goes off. Oh yeah, now I remember, you say. But in older days, Solomon declares, hey, it rains and the clouds never leave. I suppose that's a great fear for many of us. When we move on into those very later years, will our memory leave? Will our mind go? Solomon says, remember now before life loses its luster, before your memory begins to fade. Verse 3, in the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble. The keepers of the house shall tremble. The keepers of the house is a phrase which speaks of your legs, the pillars of your house, literally. Before your legs start to tremble, those who study physiology say to athletes that the first thing to go is your legs. The quickness is gone. The spring is gone. Your legs begin to no longer be strong pillars, but begin to tremble and shake a bit. I've noticed sometimes it takes me a while to roll out of my waterbed. Perhaps you've noticed that too. Growing up, I used to have pains in my legs, growing pains, and my dad put this solution on my legs that had an amazing healing property. Years ago, a couple years ago, I said, Dad, what was it you used to put on my legs that made my legs feel so much better when it went through growing pains? He said, you really want to know? I said, yeah. He said, Jade East aftershave. He said, you just thought it was some kind of special liquid and it worked on you, you know. I can remember those growing pains, though. Those aches in your legs that you'd feel in bed growing up. Now, some of us are experiencing aches like Jeff mentioned earlier. Jeff played volleyball last night. He goes, oh, my legs hurt today. Well, what happens as you get older, your legs become vulnerable to trembling. That's what Solomon is saying. And the next phrase, the strong men shall bow themselves. The strong men refers to your shoulders. Suddenly your shoulders become somewhat stooped. Whereas once you might have stood erect and been strong, now all of a sudden your shoulders move forward a bit and they bow down somewhat. This next phrase is great. And the grinders cease because they are few. Your grinders cease working because they're losing numbers, you know. One man described the aging process in an interesting way. He said, you know, you go through various stages in life. You start out with milk. Then you go to milk and soft vegetables. That's where Mary Elizabeth, my 9-month-old daughter's at. Then you go to milkshakes with hamburgers, with candy. Then you go to steak and Coke and ham and eggs, corn on the cob. And then you go to caviar. And frog's legs and chocolate mousse. All stages in life. Then, after the stage of frog's legs and caviar and chocolate mousse, you go back to milk and soft vegetables. And finally, just milk again. It makes a full cycle. Life is interesting in the way that it goes in cycles sometimes. And Solomon says, the day is coming when your shoulders will be stooping, when your teeth will be missing, when your legs will be shaking. He says, these things are going to happen. And then he furthers the description. And those that look out of the windows be darkened. Your eyes begin to darken. Boy, I really can relate to that. Now, perhaps you've seen me sometimes wear glasses. I need them, but I refuse to wear them. Only when I'm desperate and I truly cannot see anything will I slip them on. But your eye is an amazing instrument. It is the most sensitive instrument to light that is on the face of this earth. Man has never made an instrument more sensitive to light than the eye. An incredible instrument that has a responsiveness to darkness that can see a star flickering that's 25 billion light years away. An instrument that reacts 100,000 times to different sensitivities to light, and yet it darkens. One of the signs of growing older is when, like me, you do need glasses, and then bifocals, and then trifocals, and then quadfocals, and so forth and so on. It's inevitable. That's what he's saying. When those that look out of the windows be darkened, and verse 4, the doors be shut in the street when the sound of grinding is low. Your ears, the doors are shut. Your hearing begins to harden. Your ears begin to be affected. You no longer hear sounds like you once did. The ear is an incredible instrument. It can hear 15,000 different tones when it's at its best. It's like picturing a piano keyboard with 15,000 keys. The ear, at its best, can pick out 15,000 tones. That's absolutely amazing. But when is it at its best? When you're about a year and a half old. After that, it's pretty much all downhill. And one by one, those keys begin to be taken off that piano until you're reduced to a relatively small keyboard, about 12 keys or whatever. The tones begin to leave. In fact, they tell us that everything in your physiological makeup, every part of your body, every part of your physical being is eroding and decreasing, shrinking, reducing. Every part of your physiological makeup is eroding, if you would, with the exception of two things. And that is, your nose and your ears continue to grow as you get older. That's a fact. So my ears get bigger, your ears get bigger, but yet the hearing decreases and diminishes. And he goes on to say, even though the hearing decreases, this is interesting, verse 4, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. So he can't hear the music, and yet the sound of a bird will wake him up. As we get older, we no longer sleep like a baby, if you would. But as you get older, your sleep patterns are more easily disrupted. A bird chirps outside, and you wake up. You hear a sound, and you quickly arise, or you're awoke. Yet, when I watch my little kids sleep, boy, they can sleep through anything. Not so as we get older. A bird, Solomon says, will wake you up. Your sleep patterns are no longer the way they once were. Verse 5, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way. Now, there's some studies that indicate that the chemical changes in the brain as one increases in age do give proof or substantiation to the observation that the older we get, the more vulnerable we are to fears. That's what he's saying here. You're afraid of the heights, and fears are all around you. When you're younger, man, you jump off cliffs, you take on sharks, no problem. Skin diving, no problem. But as you get older, all of a sudden you begin to realize, hey, I don't necessarily want to do those same things anymore. And then you begin to caution your kids. Now, Peter, John, careful, careful. The very things that I would do freely and easily, I'm saying, now watch out, son. Why is that? The older we get, the more we are afraid of heights. We have fears that are in the way. And he goes on to say, the almond tree shall flourish. Almond trees were always white on top, and it speaks of the literal graying or whiting of your hair. So you begin to grow white and gray, and the grasshopper shall be a burden. Perhaps we are beginning to relate to that. It's funny when you ask young guys to do something, the inevitable answer is, no problem, hey, no problem. Don't worry about it, got it covered. But as we get older, things become, well, I can't do that because, and we can't get that done because, and that'll never work, and everything's a burden. We get burdened so easily. We have obstacles and reasons why it just can't happen, and things are a chore. The grasshopper, it says, becomes a burden. The grasshopper, it's just too heavy, man. Can't handle it. And things that were once no problem suddenly become, oh, so burdensome. He continues his observation. by saying, and desire shall fail. That speaks of passion, sexual or romantic passion. And because man goeth to his long home, I like that phrase, long home. It sounds kind of Polynesian. It means the long home means eternity. A man shall go to his eternal home, and mourners go about in the streets. The idea here is, man realizes at this point, as his passion begins to fail, as the grasshopper becomes a burden, as he becomes almond tree-like in his head, all of these are indications that he's going to his long home. And then he sees mourners in the streets. What does that mean? He's now participating in more and more funerals, because more and more of his friends, his colleagues, are dying off. And so he finds himself mourning more and more, seeing that his friends and buddies are now dying. And then in verse 6, or ever the silver cord be loosed. The silver cord speaks of your spinal cord. And again, paralysis begins to set in. Or the golden bowl be broken. The golden bowl was a phrase they used in that day to describe your brain. The golden bowl. Did you know that you will forget 90% of everything you learn? That's a conservative estimate by those who study such things. 90% of everything you learn will be forgotten. And yet, the 10% that you retain is actually 10 times larger in information, 10 times larger than all of the volumes that are in the Library of Congress, which is about 17 million. So you have equivalent knowledge in your brain of about 170 million volumes of books, and yet you still forget 90%. We go through incredible amounts of information constantly. The brain is an amazing object. In Sunshine Magazine, they had a description of the brain where some computer experts got together and said that if your brain was a computer that are being built today, let's say by Apple or by Commodore or by IBM, in order to do all the functions that your brain does, your golden bowl, they would have to make a computer the size of the United Nations building in New York. It would have to be cooled with a water source as freely flowing as Niagara Falls. And it would take as much power as is used in 1 year in the state of California, privately and industrially. Incredible thing up here, folks, for every one of us, some more incredible than others. But the brain is an incredible object. And yet, in old age, the brain, we are told, becomes broken. It starts to break down a bit. Or the pitcher be broken at the fountain. The pitcher at the fountain speaks of your lungs, your breathing capacity. Every 24 hours, you breathe 23,040 times if you're an average individual. You take in 438 cubic feet of air. You're breathing constantly. Your pitchers are being filled or filled with air. But eventually, they also are broken. Your breathing becomes restricted. You're out of breath easier than ever. Perhaps cancers or emphysema, but suddenly the breathing capacity is diminished, reduced. Or the wheel be broken at the cistern or the reservoir. And again, the wheel broken at the cistern speaks of your heart. Your heart, that object which every single day sends the blood through 168 million miles of veins and arteries and capillaries. Your blood travels that much distance, 168 million miles, through the capillaries and veins and arteries. In one day. No wonder people have tired blood. It moves a great distance in a single day. But the heart begins to give out. Then, he says, Verse 7, shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Finally, after all this process is completed, no matter how healthy you might be or how young you might feel, this process goes on, and finally, you die. Now, what's Solomon saying? A couple of 3 points I want to leave you with. Jot them down or think about them carefully. First of all, aging is inevitable. That's what Solomon is saying. Aging is inevitable. It is not something which we should be embarrassed about, but something we should be embracing. It is not embarrassing, but rather we should be embracing the aging process. Why, in Job chapter 12, verse 12, it says, with the ancient, or the older person, is wisdom, and in length of days is understanding. With the ancient is wisdom. Folks, even though our bodies may be deteriorating, and it's inevitable that they do, we can have the possibility of gaining in wisdom and in understanding. Therefore, let us embrace that process. Someone once said, you know, saddle shoes and miniskirts just don't mix with varicose veins. And I think there's a great deal of wisdom in that. And yet sometimes we have a tendency to be embarrassed about aging. We try to hide it or pretend that the process isn't going on. We try to cover it, hide it, not acknowledge it, not deal with it. Now, I'm not saying we should let ourselves go to pot by any means. But I am saying that there is nobility in the aging process if we embrace it biblically and say, hey, I'm not simply getting older, but by God's grace, I'm getting wiser. Bernard Barth, a philosopher that perhaps some of you are aware of, said, to me, old age is always 15 years older than I am. And that's the way it is with so many people. They refuse to acknowledge the reality of getting older and don't deal with it. T.S. Eliot, a poet that had many witty things to say in his time, the in thing, the youth thing, was to roll up the legs on your pants. And he had a little poem. He said, as I grow old, as I grow old, the bottom of my pants legs will always be rolled. He was saying, no matter what, I'm going to hang on to the fads and fashions of youth. There is that tendency to want to hang on to youth, but in reality, the Bible says, hey, realize that with the white head, it says in Proverbs, there is wisdom. And in our society, which is so youth crazy, I think as we get older, we should set the standard for saying, hey, we embrace the place that we're in. We're good stewards of our bodies, of our temples, yes, but we embrace the place that we're in. Now, secondly, aging is not only inevitable, but aging is essential. Aging is essential. Because, you see, God gives you daily reminders that you're headed for eternity. When you look in the mirror and see more gray in your beard than you had the day before, or when you realize you put on 10 pounds that don't come off quite as fast, or you see the little lines around your eyes, it's a reminder to you saying, you're dying. Life is going. Your time is limited. You're not going to stay young forever. But you're headed for your eternal home. You're going to die soon. So make the most of your days. Oh, it was Moses who in the Psalms, did you know Moses wrote a psalm? And in the psalm which he wrote, he said, Lord, teach us to number our days, realize that our days are limited. Now, God says, I will help you in that process. You won't just get old all of a sudden. But day by day, I'll bring little notices to you. You're dying. You're dying. Get ready for eternity. Life is short. And day by day, I can try and cover those things up or dye those things away or go to a plastic surgeon and seek to undo it. But in reality, it's reminding me life is short. Life is short. You're dying. It's happening. Get ready for eternity. Aging is essential because it's a reminder to us that this life is not eternal. Not here, not now. We are going to put off this old tent and move on to our eternal home. And if I live for this tent and live for this life, I'm ignoring the reminder that God gives to me each day. The aging process is so very essential. Cicero, another philosopher of old time, Rome was very influenced by his philosophy, said, "No one is so old that he does not think that he will not live another year." No matter who you are, the tendency of humanity is to say, well, I'm not going to die, not this year. But your aging is saying, prepare to meet your God. Your time is short. Prepare for heaven, for eternity. Aging. It is inevitable. Aging, it is essential. Praise God, aging, it is not eternal. Because, see, we're simply here, finally, for a short time. We'll discard these bodies and we'll move on to our glorious new resurrected state where there shall be no aging, nor disease, nor the breaking of the fountain, nor the losing of the golden bowl, nor the trembling of the pillars, nor the losing of the grinders. But our hope is in heaven. When we see Him, the Bible says, we shall become like Him. Aging, praise God, is not an eternal process. It's only temporary. It's only short. And then on to heaven, where we have new bodies that are made designed for eternity. So don't emphasize your body in this life. That's what Paul says. Bodily exercise profiteth but a little, he says, or literally for a little while. But godliness has eternal benefit. Again, we are to be keepers and stewards of this temple, this body, but not to be obsessed with or living for this temple or this body. Aging. So Solomon, back in verse 1, says, now considering all of this, act decisively. Notice the next word, verse 1, word 2. Remember, act decisively now in behalf of or towards thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Gang, now is the day to get it together. You're not dead yet. You still have your minds. Your heart is still pumping. Your fountains are still breathing. Now is the time. Because here is the brutal reality. Most people think, well, you know what? As soon as I get out of high school, then I'm going to really live for God. As soon as the parties are over, man, as soon as I get through college and I put my studies away, right now that's dominating my thinking, but once I graduate from college, then I'll be serious about seeking the Lord. Others say, as soon as my little kids grow up, they take so much time, then I'll really be serious about seeking God. Others say, well, as soon as my kids get out of the house, then I'll be serious. Others say, well, now that my kids are out of the house, as soon as we get our house together, then I'll be seeking God. It's always, I'm going to do it soon. Solomon says, don't. Solomon says, in the days that are coming, they're going to be hard times. It's never going to be easier than now for you to serve God. Never. It is never going to be easier for you than now to develop devotions. It's never going to be easier for you than now to begin to minister. It's never going to be easier for you than now to worship. It does not get easier as you get older. That's what Solomon is saying. He says the days that are coming are evil. They're tough. Physically, you start to fall apart. Mentally, you're vulnerable to depression. It's going to get tougher. It's not going to get easier. So he says, now is the day, in the day of your youth, to act decisively on behalf of God. You're kidding yourself if you think, well, next year I'm going to get it together. You won't. Unless you start today. And the greatest misnomer, I think, of our culture in regards to aging is that, well, when I get older, I'll become wiser automatically. Not so. If you are not spending time in the Word now, worshiping God now, serving God now, when you get older, you're just going to be an old fool. That's all you'll be. Is an old, cranky fool. And society is loaded with people like that. But if you decide now, saying, now, in my youth, relatively, I'm going to act decisively, Lord, on your behalf. I'm going to remember you and walk with you and commit my life to you. Then when you get old, you will age gracefully and become wise increasingly and be more valuable than ever in your life and a blessing to oh so many. But it's not going to happen automatically. I leave you with this. Would you please circle, make note of, or think about the word now? Because now means, in the Hebrew, now. It doesn't mean next month, next year, 20 years from now, when you retire, when your kids leave home. It doesn't mean when you get through college. It means remember now thy Creator. Today is the day for you to say, I'm going to decisively commit my life, my walk, my priorities, my agenda, my schedule. Today is the day I'm going to walk with God, because the days that are coming are going to be harder. They're full of evil. That's what Solomon says. And if you do that, you will be so blessed. I leave you with a quote from Goethe, who said, we must not take the faults of our youth into our old age, for old age brings its own defects, or defects, problems. Old age has its own problems. So if you're young here today, man, now is the time to get it together. It's not going to happen later. If you're on the elderly side here today, we embrace you. We need you. We as Christians, as a Christian community, are not being sucked into this youth craziness of our society. We need old people that can speak with history, with authority, with wisdom. We need to hear increasingly from those who are older. We don't tolerate you. We need you desperately. And how we thank God for so many that are older who have walked with the Lord and determined to know Him and can now pass on to many who are younger real life understandings and experiences. And whether you be old or young or in between, most people think they're in between. But wherever you might be, know this, that now, today is the day to decide to walk with God.